that we need to prepare for it. We need to make the space in our lives where love might be born. Welcome to this corner of a harsh and dark world. Together, let us practice being ready in the faith that Christ will come. And now, as a prayer, we say Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. There are some responses for you. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you to be put to shame. Let them be ashamed, who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore God instructs all people in the way. God leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble God's way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the covenant and God's decrees. Amen. This morning we are having a drama and we have a door. I hope you've seen it. It's quite big. What do you do when you hear an unexpected on the door or a ring of the doorbell? Are you excited? Or do you rush to the door with open arms? Or do you think, who's that disturbing my favourite TV program or the meal? Or are you fearful of an unexpected intrusion? Was the birth of Jesus joyfully welcomed with open arms? Or was his birth an unwelcome intrusion that would forever change the lives of many? Through drama over the next 4 weeks, we will explore the theme of change, preparation and welcome, and what it means to love your neighbours, both known and unknown, and move out of your comfort zone. Thank you, Christine, for providing us with the drama.
Well, thank you, everyone. It's been a good session this morning. There's coffee available for you if anyone would like to stay and have before you head home. Just come over and take a seat.
Despite everything that has happened this year, it's hard to believe that Christmas is so near.
I was only 11 when we first came to Australia. But that first Christmas, it was so strange to be celebrating it in the middle of summer.
Yes, me too. And somehow it always seems busier here because in Australia it's also the end of the school year and the summer holidays all packed in together. To me, the lead-up has always seemed so extra busy. But then there's a real break from all the activities in January.
It must have been so different for you coming from a cold climate.
Yes, and that reminds me about people coming. There's a house just a few streets away where there have been refugees in the past. It's been vacant for a couple of months now, but when I drove past this morning, there was some activity going on, as if it's going to be used again.
I remember. Remember what we learnt on that Refugee and Migrant Sunday recently about how difficult it can be for people when they first come here. Some of them have left everything behind in traumatic situations. And while there must be such hope in being in a safe place, it's also really daunting, particularly in a strange country with a different language and customs and expectations.
The Afghani group who spoke to us said how important it is for them to know that there are friendly people around. Perhaps we can do something to let them know who we are and that there is a caring community around them.
Yes, Alice gave us a lovely message the other Sunday with her theme of love your neighbour. I particularly like the idea of writing messages on those hearts.
That's given me an idea. Maybe I should drop by on my way home and find out what's happening. Why don't I find out a bit more about who might be coming and when? And you might like to give a bit of thought as to how we can do something creative and loving and welcoming to help them settle into the community.
That's a great idea. But I need to get going. So thanks for the coffee. Take care, everyone.
Bye, Eileen. Have a good week. I agree. We can talk about it next week after our session. If I see some of the others, I will try to ask if they have any ideas.
I'll look after these cups, Margaret.
Oh, I wonder who that is at the door. I'll get it.
Thank you.
Doesn't want to stay alight. We open the door to hope this Advent season. Do you want this left over here, Jan?
Thank you.
The lighting of the Advent candle. We hope it stays alight. God, we wait and hope. We wait in hope. This Advent time, we wait and hope that just as God was found on earth, so all that we've been longing and waiting for shall come to birth. Jesus, light our world. We hope for change in our lives and in your world. We watch and work together in hope. Amen. And together we say,
we light this candle of hope to proclaim God's light is coming into our lives.
At times, the shadow of the world's pain overwhelms us. We are overcome by our fears and wonder if life has purpose. This Advent season, let us be reminded once again that darkness cannot prevail against the light of God. Emmanuel shall come again and dwell with us. We look for you. We wait for you. Our hope is in you. And let us sing together the song, He Came Singing in Hope and He Lived Singing in Hope.
prayer. Creator God, as we enter these first weeks of summer brightness, many of us experience a rejuvenation of energy and spirit. Winter's hibernation and solitude are replaced with garden projects, walks along the beach, outdoor dining and leisure time with friends. May we enjoy each and every moment, and yet it can be easy to be carried away by the flurry and fuss, to become silly or overly absorbed with things lacking enduring value. Therefore, we recognize, if we will allow it, how your reign shifts us, leading us from denying to expecting, from cynical mocking to faith-filled wonder. This is a shift we sorely need. And so we pray for expectation, that we may see your abundance and take for granted that it must be shared, that we may know your wisdom and assume that it would guide all of our affairs, that we may sense your peace and be offended by its destructive alternative, that we may embrace your wholeness and find it second nature to bring it to others, that we may celebrate your justice and live it as easily as breathing. May we so believe in your constantly coming rain that we expect to see it appearing in every turn, in every moment, and live the work as though it comes. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. And the song is, Come, O God of all the earth.
first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14 to 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Now from the New Testament, Luke chapter 21, verse 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because the redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I don't know about you, but whether you've noticed or not, but it's out there. It's creeping around and it's lurking in dark places. Something that reflects this apocalyptic theme in Luke's gospel. There are growing signs, ever increasing, sometimes in plague proportions. I'm referring, of course, to Christmas junk mail that fills our letterboxes, catalogues from anyone and everyone, jewellery to pizza specials, bottle shops to furniture, fashion to supermarket specials. Junk mail is a particular sign, and a certain sign that Christmas is just around the corner. Particularly this last week of Black Friday. 4 weeks till Christmas. They are symbols, junk mail are symbols of a consumer-driven society that needs the latest, the newest, the most improved, smaller, faster, different colour than last year. Signs and symbols are important to us. For a sign or a symbol always points to something else. Often it has more meaning than just one, has multiple, perhaps, interpretations. But if we're to look at the first week of Advent, there are 4 weeks to go. 4 Sundays before Christmas. 4 Sundays and 4 weeks to shop, plan, party and prepare. Oh, sorry, no, that should be hope, peace, joy and love. The season of Advent is a time of anticipation, and it's a time of preparation for the joyous festival that is Christmas, and honouring and remembering the birth of Jesus. There is too the season of Advent and anticipation of Christ's return and the close of history, hence this reading for some reason at Advent from Luke 21. But a little bit more about that later. For the early church and through the Middle Ages, the focus of Advent was one of confession and of penance. However, today, the season of Advent focuses on hope. Hope that Christ's birth and rebirth in the world will usher in a new way. Advent is a time of living. Living with the balance between the already and the not yet. In the here and the now and the present and that which is still to come. There are signs all around us, informing us which way to go, warning us, inviting us, giving us information, preventing or giving access. Some signs are human signs like stop signs. Others are natural signs like global warming, the changing of seasons. And of course, in our streets, the blooming and the blossoming of the jacaranda tree. Luke 24 is a chapter dealing with the end times, the so-called end times or mini-apocalypse. But we don't read all of that chapter today, just this portion. We don't hear of all the doom and gloom, and perhaps we don't want to at Christmas time. However, verse 29 says, "Learn from the lesson of the fig tree." Or, us in Adelaide, we say, "Learn from the lesson of the jacaranda." In other words, look for the signs. Look around. Signs point to and highlight something else. Sign in of itself is not necessarily as important to that which it's pointing to. We are literally surrounded by signs and symbols of Christmas today. Christmas trees and signs in the foyer. Artwork, displays reminding us of the Christmas market. Advent candles and lights. These are simply signs of something much deeper that is going on. For they and themselves are not Christmas, but point to something much, much greater. So we look at signs of what today? What is this chapter in Luke's gospel actually saying? What are the lessons and what are the signs? Is it about apocalyptic time, the great tribulation, the return of the beast in Revelation? Is it end times? Luke 21 seems a little bit out of context as we approach Christmas, where we're focusing on the first coming of Jesus. But it seems a bit odd also that it sits just at the end of Jesus' teaching ministry and then just before chapter 22, where Jesus is facing his final weeks of Easter. So why do we read this obscure text at Christmas? Or better still, at Advent 1? I think it's there to remind us that we are in the in-between times. Jesus has come, and the scriptures suggest that there will be a time when Jesus comes again. What that means is uncertain. Many have claimed to know even the year and the month of Jesus' return. Some may be right in predicting it in the future, but one thing we know for certain is that all people, all who have claimed a time, a day, and a month, who have read the signs and interpreted the scriptures, who have claimed to hear the voice of God directly, have up to this very second are wrong. It's not happened. Jesus says no one knows. No one will know the hour or the time. So in a way, don't worry. Luke 21 really is focused on being prepared though. Being prepared. Be alert. Read the signs. But let's not get caught up in the apocalyptic imagery. What will be, will be. When and how, let us not worry about that. What I think we should worry about is how we live today. This day. So I bring us back to the theme of Advent, the pre-Christmas sermon. I wonder if we might deal better with the signs of Christmas rather than the signs of end times. The sign of Christmas ultimately has to be the baby Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, incarnate, Word made flesh, and so on. Luke chapter 2 tells us that the sign the shepherds will find in Bethlehem is a child wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The wise ones from Matthew's gospel follow the star as their sign to search for the newborn king. There are, however, other signs of Advent that we focus on them each year. We light candles about them. We explain the themes, concepts, ideas, and even ideals. Signs are hope and peace and joy and love. And I wonder, rather than getting so caught up in reading signs and interpreting end times, and that we rather actually focus on becoming the signs. That we become signs of Christ with us. That we become the signs of the Word made flesh. Rather than simply thinking about things like love, joy, peace, and hope, that we actually embody those things and live out in practical ways the Advent themes. That we become love. We become peace. We become hope. And we become joy. Where might we be hope for someone? Into what situation will we be peace? How might we enable others to experience joy? What does it mean to be love for someone else? These are the signs of Christmas. These are the signs and even the gifts that are born in Christ, born in us. We are the body of Christ, and Christ lives in us. So in a way, we are, as individuals and as a church, signs pointing to the reality of God, Christ in us, Christ with us. May the signs of Christmas and of Christ's coming, signs of hope, peace, joy, and love, be found and manifested in us this season. Let the signs of Christ's coming be made flesh in us this season and be born in us. May the signs of Christ's coming be us. Be us in our family, in our community, and in our world. Amen. Born in the night, Mary's child, a long way from your home, coming in need, Mary's child, born in a borrowed room. We sing together.
Come. CEO for Act for Peace. Whether you're watching us from home or gathered together with your church community today, we're delighted to share Christmas with you. By coming together, we're continuing a tradition of Christian kindness that began more than 70 years ago with the Reverend Frank Byatt. And since that time, we've continued to share God's love with communities who have been exiled from their homes because of conflict and disaster. Sadly, many of those communities have been impacted this last year by COVID-19. Uprooted people around the world are in urgent need of food, shelter, and life-saving support. So your gifts to the Christmas Bowl this year will continue to support our local partners and community leaders respond to those urgent needs. And by acting together with uprooted people, we'll help create a world where they have a safe place to belong. In Indonesia, for example, your gifts will help families adapt to more frequent disasters, create more sustainable livelihoods and hope for the future. In Gaza, your compassion will help children recover from the trauma of conflict through counselling and have the childhood they deserve. And in Ethiopia, your support will help refugee families manage the challenges that they've faced and have control of their lives once more. At a time when society seems so divided, your kind action through the Christmas Bowl is a powerful expression of the unity of Christ. We'd love you to join us in prayer for uprooted people, for our partners, our staff, and for the work that we're doing together. Please use the giving envelopes, and we encourage you to consider giving online. Thank you for sharing God's love through the Christmas Bowl.
We continue in our prayers of intercession sourced from Act for Peace 2021, the Christmas Bowl, prayers, and there will be a responsive section, so let us pray. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in distress, anxious over the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. Jesus, the one coming on the clouds with great power and great glory, we pray for all those people around the world who are suffering from the effects of natural disasters and climate change. We pray especially today for the people of Indonesia as their livelihoods continue to be uprooted by climate disasters and the pandemic. Bring hope and courage to all who suffer, and to all who support them, and to all who work for the healing of the earth. In a cynical and despairing world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your hope. In a violent and angry world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your peace. In a grieving and weeping world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your joy. In a lonely and inhospitable world, O God, give us a quietly prophetic voice to proclaim your love. May we be so captivated by your hope, O God, that we cannot help but to whisper, to sing, and to enact the message of your reign, which is always coming into our world. And may our quietly prophetic lives be channels of your restoring grace wherever we go. Amen. And now the dedication of our offering. Let us pray. Some have brought offerings today and placed them in the bowl. Others have given via eGive online. For all the gifts and offerings that we give thanks. For the gifts we've received, we give thanks. The love of God is revealed in the gift of Jesus, bringer of hope. In our giving of what we have and who we are, may we, with Jesus, bring hope to the earth. Amen. Let us sing together. There's a light upon the mountains, and the day is at the spring.
Friends, that comes time to conclude our time of worship today, but our service and sharing continues. You're invited over morning tea in the hall if you're able to stay. A reminder to leave via the eastern door if you're down in this section and wait till the cameras are out the way before we move out the front door. And remain COVID safe even in these days of new changes until we see what that brings. So friends, go from this place. Go from this house of worship, knowing that you are beloved of God, and offer that love to others. Your life may be the only gospel they hear today. So in all you do and all you say, spread the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, in Jesus' name. Amen.